little girl asked her mother one day, "Mommy, why do you cut the ends of the meat off before you cook it?" And the mother told her that she thought she did it because it would allow the meat to better absorb the spices, and that perhaps she should go to her grandmother, since her grandmother always did that. So the little girl runs over to her grandmother and says, "Grandma, why do you and Mommy cut the ends of the meat off before you cook it?" And her grandmother thought for a minute and answered, I think it allows the meat to stay tender because it soaks up the juices better. But why don't you ask your Nana? After all, I learned from her and she always did it that way." So the little girl is a little more frustrated, but she climbs up into great-grandma's lap and she says, "Nana, why do you cut the ends of the meat off before you cook it?" Nana answered, "I had to. My cooking pot wasn't big enough." We do a lot of things in life and seldom stop to ask why. We develop habits. We develop traditions. And if we're not careful, we can forget why we do certain things. Richmond Community Church is a group of Christian people who want to be very intentional about making this a safe, a warm, and easy to enter place to worship God and to learn more about following Christ. We have experienced this in the past by ending up doing some things quite differently than many churches do them. There's the Richmond way. Now, we're willing to do some things unusual to reach out to people and to love them into life-changing encounters with God. Recently, we entered the Richmond Clinton Community Parade. We offered free water and popcorn to everyone walking by the church all afternoon. We've had numerous youth concerts, thus the Marsh Pit. Not everything we do, though, is different. We still do some things like other churches. We have a strong heart work ministry by assisting our fellow human beings experiencing need. We support our mission field worldwide. Richmond supports the ministry of Warner Pacific College. Another one of the things that we do well is sharing communion together on a regular basis. At Richmond, we offer communion. Some churches call it the Lord's Supper. Other churches call it the Eucharist. But every month, we gather and we share bread and grape juice together as part of our Sunday morning celebration. Today is a special day. It's Worldwide Communion Sunday. Christians throughout the entire world today are making a special effort to share communion on this, the first Sunday in October. And today, we're going to spend a few minutes exploring why we observe communion. We want to do this so that everyone who's new to Richmond or to the new Christian faith might understand it completely. And my question is, why do we celebrate communion? Why do we take that small portion of grape juice and bread together? Or, as we will a little bit later, we're going to change the service a little bit, and we're going to take a grape and a piece of bread. What is that all about? Please turn in your Bibles to the New Testament, to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. And if you didn't bring your Bible, there's either Bibles in front of you or we have the words printed on the overhead. We're going to look at chapter 11, verses 23 to 29. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself, a woman ought to examine himself." I lost my spot here, bear with me. Before he or she eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself or herself. What would we do if we didn't have reminders? Some of you know that life without a date book would be very difficult. Some need to be reminded to do certain things. Wedding anniversaries help us to remember and to celebrate special dates. Today, we celebrated the second month of the birth of Kylie. Special dates during the year help us to remember. Now, for me, May 19th is one of those dates. This is the date that Teresa and I started our lives together 24 and a half years ago. I will never forget that date. I know each of you have memories connected with certain dates. Some dates help you remember the great joys of life. Other dates cause you to remember sadness. However, from time to time, we also have future dates in which we're looking forward to it. It could be a wedding that's coming up in the family, like BJ's or AJ's and Chelsea's in the near future. It could be a special anniversary or birthday for you or for a friend, a date for a long-awaited vacation, or perhaps a date to see a friend or share a meal, or the date to retire. You can tell certain things about a person from what you see. One thing that we do to identify that we're married is to put a ring on the second last finger of the left hand. Couples exchange rings during the ceremony. Now, I do not need to get a new ring every day from Teresa to know that I'm married. She gave me one, and it's still on my finger. And like the vow we made on our wedding day, the one-time event solidifies our marriage. Now, my wedding ring does not make me married. The wedding ring is a once-given sign that I am married. And likewise, baptism does not make someone a Christian. It is a once-given observance and ordinance that someone professes to be a Christian. Now, sometimes people have to remove their rings when they're baking or using particular machinery. It can be maybe for cleaning a house, at night, to avoid injury to a hand during certain activities. This does not mean that they have become unmarried. Every day when I put my ring back on my finger, it reminds me of my vows and my responsibilities as a husband. Likewise, communion is an ordinance that should be performed frequently to remember what it means to be in Christ. When Christ died, why did Christianity not die with him? Is the church an invention of a few disillusioned followers to keep a group going? Why are we here today? Is it a habit? Is there any real purpose for gathering? Why do we do the things the way we do? Is it human tradition or something else? Now, in the past, we've all studied stories about Moses. At the tender age of 80, God used Moses to deliver his people from slavery in Egypt. Pharaoh had them in cruel bondage, but God was ready to free them.
So when Pharaoh refused to set them free, God sent signs and God sent plagues. However, Pharaoh still refused. So God said that the firstborn in every family would die. But Moses was told to tell every Hebrew family to slaughter a lamb and to take some of the blood and to spread it on the frames of their doors. And Exodus 12:13 says that God saw the blood, that it will be a sign for you on the houses that where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass you over. All that God said came to pass. The Hebrew people were finally set free. But God asked them to remember the fact that he did. God had rescued them. God had delivered them. And so we now jump 1,500 years in history, and we see Jesus and his disciples were preparing to remember the time when God passed over the Hebrew houses. They were preparing to remember God's salvation. How easily we tend to forget important dates. How easily we forget. At the end of the Passover meal, Jesus said some pretty radical things. Later, after his death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit enabled his disciples to remember Jesus' words and to understand the depth of what Jesus meant. That final Passover meal with Jesus was to be remembered and celebrated. Jesus taught before his death what his plan was and how he would provide in every way. In Acts 2, we see the fulfillment of Jesus' promise and that he would be with the saints of God in the presence of the Holy Spirit. He appeared among the believers for 50 days. Those 50 days, the church today calls a period of Pentecost. Jesus told the believers that he had to leave so that the Holy Spirit would come. This was the birthday of the church. The Holy Spirit came to live with believers forever. For this new period, Christ introduced new covenant practices in baptism and communion. The reason we have this symbolic communion meal together is one, to remember. Look at verses 23 through 25 again. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Paul was describing the Last Supper, of course. And interestingly, at his Last Supper, Jesus interpreted something old. Jesus, again, was interpreting the Passover meal. Exodus 12 describes that first Passover, which included a lamb. Jesus is our Passover lamb. That lamb had been sacrificed. That Passover meal symbolizes pure bread called unleavened bread. And Jesus introduced wine to the meal. Though it's not specified in Exodus 12, it was a part of the meal. Jesus instituted something new, a ceremony that quickly came to be celebrated in the church much more regularly than the annual Passover. And the second thing was to rejoice. And as we look at verse 26, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We're not just looking back, but we're also pointing forward. When we share communion, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. As at Easter, we say, "He is risen," and the congregation responds, "He is risen indeed." So in communion, we say, "He died for you. He died for you." And the third reason that we take communion is to repent. Verses 27 through 28 tells us, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord." A man or woman ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Sharing communion provides opportunity to examine ourselves. And if the Holy Spirit shines his piercing light on anything in our lives that is unworthy of the symbolic body and the blood of the Lord, we have the opportunity to repent and to experience his forgiveness and cleansing anew so that we might celebrate worthily. Now, there may be one or two of you here that are saying, "Aha, Pastor Frank, then why do we allow children to take communion before they have made a decision to follow Jesus?" And to those, I respond, a child is innocent until the age of accountability. They are innocent until they have the opportunity to know and to either accept or to reject belief in Jesus. Therefore, we encourage our children to understand the meaning of communion and to participate in it as a way of bringing them up and setting examples for them of the Christian way and following the teachings of Jesus. And the fourth thing that we do with communion is to reconcile. Verse 29 tells us, "For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord, eats and drinks judgment on himself." Now, William Barclay, a long time ago pastor, suggests two possible meanings here. Now, I'm going to just read his words here. And he proposed that both meanings are applicable. One, he wrote, "It may mean that the individual who eats and drinks unworthily does so with no reverence and no sense of the importance or obligation of their act." And the second thing he wrote is that it may also mean this, that the phrase, "the body of Christ," again and again stands for the church. So this may mean that he or she eats or drinks unworthily who's never realized that the whole church is the body of Christ, but it's not in agreement with the Christian brother or sister. Everyone in whose heart there is hatred, bitterness, or contempt against a brother or a sister, as he or she comes to the table of our Lord, eats and drinks unworthily. So then, to eat and to drink unworthily is to do so with no sense of the greatness of things we do, and to do so while we're at variance with the brothers and sisters for whom Christ also died. And thus, we share a simple ceremony as Christians, black and white, Asian and Latino, male and female, young and old, single and married, as they have done all around the world for 20 centuries for four reasons: to remember, to rejoice, to repent, to reconcile. As Jesus and his disciples, the group of 12 men that he trained, prepared for the Passover, they were preparing to remember. And as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper, or Holy Communion, or Eucharist, we remember. We remember Jesus' words, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus and his disciples had slaughtered a lamb for the Passover. We remember that Jesus is the Lamb of God. We remember the shed blood of Jesus. We do this to remember Jesus, lest we forget. However, we also look forward. Just as a child looks forward to the excitement of Christmas morning, with excitement we look forward to the return of Jesus, and we remember his words regarding this meal of remembrance. So let's remember Jesus. Let's look forward to Jesus. Let's prepare for this communion service. And begin by quietly sitting, reflecting, and allowing God to speak to us.
To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For when he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground, he has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Why do we come to the Lord's table? We come not because we're worthy, not for any righteousness of ours. For we have sinned and fallen short of what, by God's help, we might have been. But we come because Christ calls us to come. It is his table. He invites us. We come because it is a memorial to him, as often as it is done in remembrance of him. And when we find ourselves humbling ourselves in his presence and bowing in his worship, we come because here is portrayed Christian self-denial. And we're taught very forcibly by the virtue of sacrifice on behalf of one another. We come because here we find comfort. Here we find peace. We come because here we find hope. We come because we rise from this place with new strength, new courage, and the power to live for him who died for us. In the Church of God, we believe in an open communion table and communion service. That means anyone who professes to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, was buried and rose, and sits in heaven today, and you've asked for your forgiveness of the sins and pronounced Jesus as your Savior, you are welcome at our table. We recall that that night of the Passover that Jesus picked up the chalice and he said, "This is my blood, which will be shed for you." And today, we're going to have you pick up a grape. Because Jesus said, "I am the true vine and you are the branches." We see that symbolizes that the grape, us, are part of the life of Christ, the vine of Christ. Also, as I was, just before this message started, I was talking to Don and I was sharing, you know, suddenly this verse came to me where God prophesies that Jesus would crush the head of Satan. Is there symbolism as we bite into this grape that Christ crushed the head of Jesus while his side was pierced and the blood flowed for us as the final atonement? And then we'll have the bread, where that night Jesus picked up the bread, he gave thanks for it, and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which will be broken for you. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." So pastors, if you would come forward and receive the elements and share them. We're going to ask you to come forward today and to take the elements. I encourage you to come forward to take the bread and the symbol of the cup that proclaims the loving sacrifice of Jesus for everyone here. Please hold the elements until everyone has been served, and then Pastor John will lead us in observing communion. Calm your spirit. Take your time. Approach these moments of worship carefully and prayerfully, and come forward when you are ready. And if for any reason you choose not to take communion today, that is perfectly okay. Feel free to remain seated. Maybe pray for those who are celebrating today. And if there's anyone who'd like to have someone pray for you, come down to the altar and someone will step forward and pray with you during this time. In an increasingly globalized world where differences can be divisive, sharing in the elements of the Lord's Supper is the quiet constant that reunites believers of Christ, that grace, redemption, and healing are afforded through the simple sharing of the sacred bread and cup. Come as you are prepared.
Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Father God, thank you for sending your Son, for sending him to show us the way and to be that sacrifice, to have his body broken for the forgiveness of our sins. Let us eat together. In the same way, also the cup. After supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this, eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's take together. Father God in heaven, thank you once again for the shed blood that covers our sins, that covers any sin. Thank you that through your Son, we can step up to the judgment seat. And because you see us through him, that answer is not guilty. We have been forgiven of our sins. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, in the name of your Son. Amen.